Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The Bird Show.
We had Regis on the show, and his throat was all jacked up.
Mm-hmm. Sorry about my voice. I lost it about 2 weeks ago, and it's just getting worse. I tried Mucinex. Bird, you ever lose your voice?
I constantly. When I go out and I tie it on the night before, I always lose my voice the next day on the air.
And how do you get it back? You have any special recipes or anything?
Actually, I do have this. It's a throat tea that I use that, like, works overnight. It's really great.
Bert uses a throat tea. What's the name of this tea, Bert? We're going out to get it right now.
Is it a throat coat or something?
It is throat coat. So Melissa with the save there and remember the name of it because she used it after I did.
After you did, I used it when I had a cold one time. And it's not the best tasting tea, but it certainly works because it does coat your throat.
I don't even have
that's the name.
That, good name. I don't even have a sore throat and I want to go get it.
So this was Regis on his show. You know, they just talk randomly in the first couple of minutes of the show.
So I talked to this guy, this radio host, Bert Weiss, in Atlanta today.
Yes.
And he tells me that he uses throat coat.
Throat coat, yeah. Yes, I've used throat coat.
Have you?
Yes.
And does it work?
I think so.
You see, I'm just wondering what is good for this thing.
Which was really
cool. That's fantastic.
Yeah,
on national television.
That's quite a coup right there.
Mm-hmm.
So Rich Eldridge, who's a friend of the Bird Show. He's a friend.
Well, he's a friend of some of ours.
Some of you guys. For 7 years, we've had this great relationship. And he writes about the whole Regis thing. I text him yesterday, like I normally do, and I think we have a story that's peach buzzworthy.
You're hurt. Your feelings are hurt. The way you're talking is...
I don't know where it's gone wrong with us. Like, I feel like... I feel like I do when I get in an argument with my wife and she's mad at me, but I have no idea why.
Well, that's probably your ego.
Not anymore, because I have ego away. So, Rich writes about the whole thing yesterday, and I did. I texted him once yesterday. Hey, Regis said thank you to me on his show. Is it peach buzzworthy? And I text Rich. It's the guy that writes Peach Buzz in the AJC. And normally Rich is very good at getting back to me. And he'll either write something like, yeah, I heard it, or he'll call me. And I didn't hear anything from him. So I emailed him the exact same line. So I text and emailed, and he covers it in the Peach Buzz this morning, but then he takes a swipe at me at the very end of it.
Well, you also went to his house and left him a note on his door.
And I did that skywriting thing
yeah.
also.
And send him some message balloons.
And then he takes a very hurtful swipe at me.
Smoke signals.
In the Peach Buzz this morning.
Morse code.
First of all, I'm going to eliminate it. He's not a friend on my MySpace anymore. That's going to hurt
Your
him more than
Your voice is about to
me.
Break.
I need throat coat. It says, we learned about the less than scintillating cycle of events. There's the first shot. There's the first one.
Well, I mean, it really. I mean, I do hurt for you. It's,
no, you don't. Hold on. Yeah, I can see the look of hurt on your face right
You love
now.
It, Jeff.
I just think it's funny.
Better
that
him than me is
right.
what you're saying.
Because one that, boom, right on the nose. Bam, right there. But I think it's...
I mean, technically, I didn't do anything wrong, right? This is normally what we've done with Rich for 7 years, correct?
But I think... I don't know. Go ahead.
Okay.
I just think the less than scintillating, because the reality is, Regis just said your name.
I think that's pretty...
I think that's
cool.
A big deal.
Yeah, it's cool, but I just think
it's
that...
It's a national...
If it was Jeff Dollar, if he said your name on national television...
Oh, my God, are you kidding me?
Come on.
Yeah, I've already got him mentioning my name during the interview as my ringback.
Exactly.
Just Regis saying my name over and over.
We learned about the less than scintillating cycle of events when we heard the interview live on Q100. Then we watched live, and then we received a text from Weiss and a follow-up email. Here's the real shot. Buzz was tempted to reach into our desk for our own handy work-related remedy, ego away. So there's something desperately wrong with my relationship with Rich Eldridge, and I have no idea where I went wrong.
I'm just laughing at that bird being so perfect.
You should have seen my face this morning. Y'all, you should have seen my face. In our industry, when you get into the Peach Buzz, it's like a coup. Because you know there are other morning shows that get up and they read the column also. And you've got bragging rights for the day.
Not today. They're high-fiving each other.
Totally high-fiving each other. So I'm reading the article. I'm like, this is great. He covered it. There's Regis Philbin's face and everything. And I read through the whole thing. And I get to that last line. And I'm like, what? WTF? It was such an emotional high and an emotional low.
I actually I saw it last night
And you didn't warn me?
I didn't know about it.
I didn't know how to tell you.
I didn't know about it until you came in with this, like, because I had said when I walked in this morning, because I didn't get an ounce of sleep last night. So I was like, oh, man, I'm struggling today because I didn't get any sleep, so I'm going to have to game up. And the person's like, well, I'm in a bad mood. And I'm like, well, what happened? And then so I didn't know about it until Bert broke the news to me when I got in the studio.
We had dinner a couple of weeks ago? Maybe I said something? I don't know, but.
Hold on.
The Coldplay Sing From My Heart.
We do need to do a second date, second article update.
No, I'll call him after the show and find out what I did to offend. In the meantime,
and you've
Chris
got
Martin speaks for me.
Chris Martin is comforting you. Rich wants to talk to you.
I don't know that I can.
Hold on, okay?
I don't know that I can do this.
It's on line one.
I don't know that I can do this.
Now try to be humble.
What did I do? Where did it go wrong? Rich, where did it...
Good morning, Bert Show.
Where did it go wrong? I mean, explain to me. I'm so confused by our relationship.
Bert, it's not you. It's your ego. I love you, Bert. It's not you.
But I didn't handle this any different...
Sometimes your ego crawls out and texts messages people and then hacks into your email account. And sends things out.
But I when I text you, you're usually so good at texting back. You'll either write back, yeah, I heard it, which means, okay, you don't want to cover it.
Well,
or you'll call me.
I got to be honest. I was chasing a few other things yesterday in between Regis references. Like, oh, there's a presidential candidate. His name is Barack Obama. Now, okay, Bert, walk with me. Take my hand. Okay.
Oh, God.
Take my hand and walk with me.
This is going to get ugly.
We are going to step away from the situation.
All right.
We're going to gain some perspective.
Okay.
All right. We're looking out over the horizon. Now.
Do I have my...
Regis Philbin comes on, does a live interview, which was very fun. A phlegmy Regis Philbin. And he's got a tickle. A thing.
Yeah.
He's like, Bert, what would you do? And you're like, I use this stuff. And he's like, oh, great. So then Regis, because he probably didn't go out to a film premiere the night before, Regis, in advancing years, he gets on the air, and he's got to talk about something for 10 minutes during host chat. So he brings up, you know, well, I'm phlegmy, and this guy, Bert Weiss, you know, and so... I thought, well, that's interesting. I'm jotting it down.
It's a nice little mention, sure.
And, you know, so I'm like, well, you know, that may or may not make the final cut for Peach Buzz, depending on the news cycle, depending on whether I can find out whether Barack Obama got on the treadmill for 20 minutes or more at the Peachtree Center Athletic Club.
Okay. And for the record, let's just say Barack Obama had no throat condition.
Not any throat condition that I'm aware of.
I think I understand what you're trying to say is that you were very busy yesterday and there were very important things that you were working on.
Well, and Bert, again, we're stepped back. We're looking over that horizon.
Yeah.
Now, tell me, do you think stepping away from you as Bert Weiss, do you think that maybe this is the most important thing in the universe?
No, but I just don't understand the swipe because it was a text and an email.
You think it was over the top, Rich? Or because I
one
from
line.
Bert, from Bert's,
it was a little over the top.
Because from Bert's perspective, I think he was worried that
again, we're stepping back. We're looking at that perspective. We're looking at that horizon. And Bert, honestly, you know, I have to deal with a lot of morning show personalities.
I understand,
and they all think that every single thing that happens during the course of their 4 or 5 hours on the air every morning is column worthy. And we both have known people in this industry in the past who are no longer on Atlanta radio who they got to the stage of their career where if they urinated in the morning, they thought that should be in the column.
But I have never complained to you before if you didn't put something in the paper for us. You know, you and I have always been okay with that. That wouldn't have offended me at all.
Bert, I think that we just need to work on our relationship a little bit. Maybe go to some couple counseling.
Hey, just for the record, if you're filling space, I did urinate this morning.
I'm constipated.
If you can email me the color, that would be great.
I had asparagus.
All right, so in the future, how should I handle these then? When I think there's something that might be buzzworthy, should I... How should I do that to where you're not offended?
I think that one or the other would have been good yesterday.
Okay.
Well,
one or the other. And the singing telegram, that was also a little over the top.
All right, then I will ask you, if I send a text, for 7 years you've sent me a text back saying, got it. So I just assumed that you didn't get it, and that's why I sent the email.
Well, you know what? The reason I didn't send you a text back was because I'd already heard the segment on the radio and then seen the follow-up on the TV show. So I was kind of in the loop, and a lot of times if I send you a text back, it's because I didn't hear the segment. Because, again, I'm listening to all these morning radio shows.
Gotcha.
And so if I'm not necessarily in the loop on it, I will maybe send you a text back and say, hey, could you give me a call so I can get more information about this?
I find that I always get a prompt response from Rich when I use my email address, VickyLock@gmail.com.
Well, and that is a factor. Yeah.
Okay, Rich, so we're still tight. We're still holding hands, looking out over the horizon together.
We are. But I just need you to know that I'm holding hands with everybody. Everybody on Atlanta Morning Radio. It's not just you. We're not in this relationship.
And I'm fine with that.
Oh, it's like a Coke. It's like the Coke commercial. We're all holding hands there in the field.
Swaying back and forth with each other. And
here comes that polar bear sliding down to screw up our big penguin party.
All right, Rich.
I didn't mean to be hurtful.
I will spray myself.
Okay, all right. That's not exactly honest.
I did mean to be hurtful. I know you did.
I meant to take the wet towel and snap you on the ass a little bit.
I still don't. Okay. I don't quite understand it, but I understand.
I didn't mean to hurt you. I just wanted to hurt the ego.
Well, you did that successfully. If your mission, Rich Eldridge, was to hurt me, you hurt me, Rich Eldridge. You hurt me. You hurt me to the core, Rich Eldridge. All right, man.
The Bert Show. The Bert Show.
What's up, fools? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
So Reader's Digest here, I'll read right from their website. Man, I know we got a lot of doctors and a lot of nurses listening. They offer 24 doctors a chance to tell it like it really is. And general practitioners, surgeons, shrinks, pediatricians, other specialists really took the challenge. Most of them wanted to be anonymous, although a couple of them let their identities known. But some of this stuff here is really scary. The first one I told you guys about is, I was told in school to put a patient in a gown when he isn't listening or cooperating, it casts him in a position of subservience.
I think that would be totally true.
Mm-hmm. I mean, psychologically, absolutely. I mean, there's that little itty-bitty claw thing, and your junk could be hanging out at any minute.
That almost makes sense to me. I almost don't have a problem with that.
I don't even know why it would have to be a situation where one person would have to be up here and the other one down here anyway. He's the doctor, and you're the patient. You're already at a place where...
Yeah, but, so,
but he's saying if the patient was
isn't
uncooperative,
right. You know, right. Strip him down naked.
But, wow.
I used to have my secretary page me after I had spent 5 minutes in the room with a difficult or overly chatty patient. Then I'd run out saying, oh, I have an emergency. So if the pager goes off while you're in there, you just may think like you're being a big old pain in the butt. Sometimes it's easier for a doctor to write a prescription for a medicine than to explain why the patient doesn't need it.
Really? Well, you know, I have to say, though, I think that a lot of patients probably go in there. You see commercials now for specific medicines. Those medicines are not being prescribed to you, but you see the commercial for it. Mm-hmm. And the purpose of that is so that the patient demands it of the doctor. And so I wonder if that's what they mean. Yeah.
Why? Because the guy walking in the park looks so happy.
Yeah. Or you have to give me an antibiotic for this. Well, the doctor's like, well, you don't need an antibiotic. Well, I need an antibiotic for this. So I wonder if it's...
So rather than just arguing, it's like, just great, take the Levitra, get out of my office. I've got nine other patients lined up.
Yeah.
94% of doctors take gifts from drug companies, even though research has shown that these gifts biased our clinical decision-making.
I have a significant problem with that. Pharmaceutical companies.
You would think a lobbyist would do something about that one.
Well,
the lobby's
you're really
probably
not working for the lobby.
Yeah.
You're not going to find a probably not a bigger lobby than the pharmaceutical industry.
Yeah, but you'd think some senator would stand up and say, "Yeah, this has got to stop."
There's a lot of money in pharmaceuticals.
Well, I just think that in our industry, for example, you cannot legally as a record company employee come in with like the new Kanye West CD and hand it to the program director who makes a decision about what music to play with a fresh baked apple pie, for example, or a trip to
Vegas
Sea Island for the weekend to stay in a beautiful house. You can't do that because then you'll be influenced to play that record over that. You can't do that really in any business. Like, you can't go see the judge about getting a permit to build something on your land and offer him a trip. You can't, but for whatever reason, in that industry, it's perfectly acceptable to say, hey, we're having a conference, finger quotes, at these, you know, these houses down in Seaside, Florida. You should come down. Of course you're going
to
be influenced
to
prescribe
to pick
this
their
medicine.
Brand
exactly.
over another brand. Yeah,
right.
This one actually might be pretty good advice. Avoid Friday afternoon surgery. Have you guys ever heard this one? Avoid Friday afternoon surgery. The day after surgery is when most problems happen. If the next day is Saturday, you're flying by yourself without a safety net because the units are understaffed and ERs are overwhelmed because doctor's offices are closed.
Makes sense.
Good advice. In many hospitals, I had no idea if this is true or not. I had no idea. In many hospitals, the length of the white coat is related to the length of training. Medical students wear the shortest coats.
Really?
That's something to look for the next time you're in there.
That's good. It's an urban legend, isn't it? That can't be real.
These are legitimate doctors. Not a day goes by when I don't think about the potential of being sued. It makes me give patients a lot of unnecessary tests that are potentially harmful just so I don't miss an injury or problem that comes back to haunt me in the form of a lawsuit.
I believe that. Sure. We are a lawsuit-happy country right now.
You can understand that one. It's pretty common for doctors to talk about their patients and make judgments particularly about their appearance, which is walking a real fine line. Like if the person's not healthy, you'll obviously want to talk to other doctors about that. But if somebody just comes in there looking all sloppy, your doctor's saying, man, you check out Hobby today? Woo, she put it on.
That's terrible. But I'm sure that's just like office gossip. Mm-hmm. Their office just happens to be where you go to the doctor, you know?
Everyone thinks all doctors know one another, but when we refer you to specialists, we often have no idea who those people are. Generally, we only know that they accept your insurance plan. I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
I thought that there was some kind of relationship there, and this is another doctor that they trusted. This doctor's saying that's not the case. Doctors are only interested in whether they are inconvenienced. Most don't care if you have to wait for them. I know that.
That's subjective, though, don't you think? I mean, that may be the majority, but that seems kind of like an opinion more than, I don't know.
I'd say more often than not, I've talked about this before, I think how unfair I think it is that you have to sit in a doctor's office sometimes 90 minutes before you get in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I find that to be more the case than the exception.
Didn't you leave a doctor's office twice? A
couple times, yeah.
The same doctor's office, like two consecutive weeks you got out of there.
Well, there's one for my knee where I was supposed to get some...
that's right, a radiologist.
Some radiology done. And they were 3 hours late. I got to the office, they're like, well, we're running behind 3 hours. 3 hours? How about a call?
Yeah.
Though we don't cry in front of you, we sometimes do cry about your situation at home, which I sort of like to hear about.
Yeah. I believe that.
60% of doctors, these are shocking stats, 60% of doctors don't follow hand washing guidelines.
60%?
60%.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that creeps me out.
90...
You don't know who they had their hands on before you.
Mm-mm. 96% of doctors agree they should report impaired or incompetent colleagues or those who make serious mistakes. 96% say they should. 46% of them admit to having turned a blind eye at least once.
Yeah, it's kind of like a community that protects each other, right? Because it goes back to the whole suing thing. Nobody wants to get sued. They're all afraid of getting sued and all those medical malpractice things. So if you sell out another doctor, they could sell you out.
I also think
it's human nature, too, because there's so many people that think about doing the right thing and then don't.
Mm-hmm.
I know that my sister-in-law works in South Carolina, and she saw a doctor that was coming in inebriated a couple of different times and turned him in. and all the nurses and doctors turned on her.
Really?
Yep.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
He was coming in drunk?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And they turned on her. And one last one from a doctor. Doctors have a limited amount of time, so the younger and more attractive you are, the more likely you are to get more of our time.
Totally believe that.
Yeah.
Really?
Yep.
Well, that's assuming that all the doctors are talking about are men.
I think if you...
What?
Women, too. I think if you are going into the hospital and there are three patients to be taken care of and one of them is a 95-year-old woman suffering from dementia who wandered out of her house and was, you know, hypothermia, right? That's right. Exposed to cold. Then you have a 60-year-old guy with chest pains and you have a 22-year-old new mother.
You think you're gonna...
And the doctor has time to give to one of them?
22-year-old getting right.
Sure.
Front of the line.
Why not? 95-year-old's been on the earth 95 years. She's already sick. Yeah. She wandered out of her house. Why wouldn't? I mean, it's human nature.
Let's do checks and balances to see if this is actually accurate. What? Yeah.
I was thinking that the 95-year-old would be the one they picked because that'd be the most critical.
No, because one of these that I actually eliminated, because I just took the most shocking. There were 41 of them, and they'll all be up on our website at allthehitsq100.com. But one of them said that so often as doctors we see elderly that it's so refreshing to see young people come in that we see them first.
Wow.
Good morning, Alyssa. You're on Q100. Hi.
Hi, good morning. I love you guys.
Thank you. Are you a nurse?
I am.
Do you find this list generally accurate or just hype?
I find it very, very accurate. I do find it accurate. Sometimes we get a little shocked about how doctors do respond to the patients. And I wouldn't say a lot of them have ego trips, but the majority of certain fields of doctors you're going to see have that I'm better than you. You're going to listen to what I say. You'll be the submissive, subservient patient. You didn't have anything on there. I don't know if there was any surgeons that had made comments, but there is some very awful and interesting things that go on in the OR while you are under anesthesia.
You can't be general. Come on.
You got to
be specific. We need one. We'll give us one story in which fields are more egotistical than others.
I think the surgeons are a little more egotistical just because they think that they're the gods of the medical field.
I got to tell you, I want my surgeon arrogant.
I want him
going in there thinking that there's nothing can
stop
him.
Indestructible.
I want that.
And he's not going to walk out of there with me in a bad place.
Right.
Like, he's going to walk out of there, and I'm going to be better than I was when I went in.
As a nurse, I would imagine sometimes that gets unbearable, but I could tell you, as a patient, the more arrogant I think, the better off for me as a patient.
Yes. What are some of the things?
Yeah, but a lot of times, too, the more arrogant, the worse the surgeon.
Really? So, something to improve.
What are some things that happen when people are under anesthesia in the operating room?
Things get kind of wiggled and jiggled and made fun of, or poked and prodded and made fun of.
Are you telling me that, like, when a guy is just laid out, he's under all that anesthesia, you guys are making fun of his size of his unit?
I don't know. Now, for personal experience, I do not know. I just have other nurse friends who are surgical nurses, like OR nurses, and they have said that their physicians, their surgeons, have done some pretty, I guess, mean things to these patients while they're under.
It's jacked up. If I come through it okay, though, that's all right. But play with my
as
unit.
As long as I don't know.
Right.
Yeah. Jiggle my cellulite all you want. Just fix my heart or my head or whatever it is.
I don't know that she's talking about cellulite.
I think she's talking about your parts. You know, like maybe
your boy parts.
I don't have boy parts.
No, but I think that's what she's referring to. Oh.
This is the one that we were like, really? In many hospitals, the length of the white coat is related to the length of training. Medical students wear the shortest coats. Is it true?
Yes, yes, I'm a RN on my way into Emory right now, and if you are a medical student and you are in the hospital, you have a short coat. If you are an actual doctor, you have a long coat.
I had no idea.
Wow. Levels of residency as well, where you have your attending, your fellow, your first year resident, your second year resident, your third year resident. So, honestly, you really don't know what level resident you're having coming to look at you, but you have your attending but they all wear long coats, and then your medical students wear your short coats.
Boy, that is great.
That's interesting.
If we could stop the show today, and I'd be happy.
That's good information. I never knew that.
The next time you're in a doctor's office or the next time you're in a hospital, you'll look for that, right?
Students are first graduating if you go to a teaching hospital, and July 1st is their first day of the floor, so you never want to go July 1st.
Okay, very good advice. Thank you.
There's a whole bunch of people rescheduling surgery today.
And one last one here. Angel, good morning. You're on
Q100. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hi.
What's up? Turn your radio all the way down.
Please.
Please.
Okay, sorry.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Just calling because there was one comment y'all said about the doctors take gifts, and it is against the law for the doctors to take a gift. I'm an OR surgical nurse, and it is against the law. They can fine up to $100,000 per event that the state or the government actually finds that they have taken a gift. This includes to be food. Lunch is included if a rep brings lunch and they're not giving some sort of educational in-service. Right. It is against the law.
This says 94% of doctors take gifts from drug companies. 94%.
You talk about the educational thing. That means with the sandwich, all they have to do is include a brochure about their new prescription medicine and they're covered.
They have to actually teach something. They not give a brochure. They have to actually teach something in order to bring food in.
Right, so they can hand them the food and go, here, enjoy this sandwich. By the way, my pill will help you sleep.
Right. You know what? And I have to say that as a patient, I always get irritated when the reps are there and get in before me. Or, like, the reps don't pay attention to the patients in the waiting room. And I see that with their roller bags all the time. And then it irritates me a little bit.
I have never thought about it. I've always just assumed that the reps are there on a schedule also, the same way you schedule your visit. They're scheduling their visit. I've never thought they just show up and they get in.
Well, they may schedule it, but for some reason it irritates me. I think the reps, I think the patient should be in there first and the reps at the end of the day.
Like maybe between like 6 and 7 or 5 and
Absolutely.
6 and you just wheel them in one at a time.
I think that, yeah, the medical patients are priority and those reps are last.
The Burt Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
All right, here is Tavon. She wants to know if you guys think, if she's being a little bit too aggressive. She wants to find her mom a man this year. She's determined.
Okay.
Hey, Tavon.
Hi.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm great.
Okay, so explain to us why now, all of a sudden, like, you've got to find your mom a man.
Well, to be honest, like, long story short, me and my mom are from New York, and she basically moved me down here around middle school just to give me a better life, and she didn't really know anyone here. Took a job at a construction company where there was, like, two other employees, both men, both married. So for, like, 15 years, she was working at a job where normally it would be the time where she would meet people and make friends, and she really didn't have the opportunity to. So she puts me through college, works really, really hard. I'm actually getting married in 2 weeks, less than 2 weeks. And we were at Lenox for fireworks and, you know, just sitting around and looking at all these couples. And it was our last time us going to Lenox for our single girls out. And I was thinking, you know, this is pretty ridiculous that at this point in time, my mom, who's 46, I sent you guys pictures. She's absolutely gorgeous, looks like she's in her 20s, and she's still single. And it's just frustrating because we're really close. I know the guys that try to talk to her. I'm usually always there because we hang out a lot. And it's usually either 20-year-olds that want, you know, just the it from her, the booty from her, or it's like 40 or 50-year-olds that pretty much are divorced and don't really want a relationship and just want the booty from her. So I figure, you know, I'm going to take things in my own hands. And for her birthday in May, I surprised her with a photo shoot, which I told her was just, you know, to help her confidence. But it's actually to get some nice professional pictures done so that I can just do a blitz for, like, the rest of the year and put her on every site, Match.com, Craigslist, MySpace. I made her a MySpace page, like eHarmony. I was even going to make up a website called DateMyMother.com and make up, like, headshots with, like, her face on it and all her stats on the back. And my boyfriend's about, or my fiancé is about 6'3", almost 300 pounds. So I figure he can be, like, the filter. And, you know, as guys email in, you know, I can talk to him because I know, I mean, we're really close, so I know all the things that she's looking for. And then if we ever had to meet anyone, he could be there to, like, you know, make sure I don't get, like, taken or plundered or, you know, anything like that. And then hopefully by then I can set up, like, some kind of speed dating or something where I can get, you know, at least 10 or 15 guys or maybe do that whole 30 dates in 30 days thing. But, I mean, I don't know if it's, like, if it would be a little weird as I talk to these guys or if they're thinking, they might think I'm pimping out my mom or something. I'm not sure how it would go over, you know, from a male's perspective, especially since the age range would probably be, like, you know, late 30s to maybe early 50s. I don't know if those type of guys would just be like, this chick has got to have something crazy, you know, going on with her, or her daughter's crazy, or my mom's psycho or something.
Does your mom have any idea you want to get this aggressive about finding her a man now?
No, she's like, I told her about the MySpace thing, and she's like, oh, okay, you know, you can do that for me. She's not really that computer savvy, where she would actually know how to use it. So she's like, oh, okay, you know, you could just put me up there, and maybe I'll check emails every, you know, once a week or something like that. But I have, like, a whole mission plan, like, you know, by Christmas, New Year's, it's usually my grandmother's single, my mom's single, and I'm the only one that's getting married. So usually New Year's, we all three of us meet up for New Year's. And I'm like, I'm determined for us not to look like a bunch of spinsters on New Year's in New York. Because, you know, we're always us three together, and I'm always looking around like, oh, look at all these couples kissing at New Year's. And it's me, my single mom, and my single grandma. This is quite awesome. So I'm trying to make sure that by New Year's, just now, I'll have somebody to kiss, and hopefully my mom will have somebody to kiss, too.
Well, now, has she communicated to you her frustration at being single, or are you just frustrated that she's single?
She's communicated some frustration, I guess. She's more happy-go-lucky, like, you know, he'll come when he's supposed to come. She's trying to still be open, and, you know, she's, whenever she meets a guy, she's trying to be open for the possibility, but she's not that type of person that has a deadline or is, like, trying to rush into things whenever she meets a guy. So she's just trying to just coast along until it happens. But for me, I see it's really hard to date in Atlanta as it is and find, you know, single straight men. And then on top of that, the older you get, the more harder it is. And, you know, I want a stepdaddy. You know, I think it's about time that, you know, she has somebody. She will give anybody the clothes off of her back. I've seen her do it before. She's such an awesome person. And it's just, it's more frustrating to me. And I probably have more of a time clock because I just think it's just ridiculous that she's single. It just doesn't make any sense to me. I don't.
You're going to be walking a real fine line with guys when you do this because you could, I mean, you could get so aggressive about it that guys would be turned off to your mom because you're getting too aggressive.
Right.
Yeah, because you don't want it to look like she's desperate because it doesn't sound like she is. I mean, it sounds like she's beautiful. She's got her family, her life going, and you said she has a good job and everything else. So you don't want to paint her as like a charity case.
Right.
Aww. Which is really sort of what it's like coming off as.
Oh, that's not good.
Well, I mean, because I think maybe if you tone it down just a little bit, like the datemymother.com, I think is a bad idea. That's what makes her look the most desperate, you know?
Yeah. But I think that the professional pictures is a great idea. I think putting her up on, you know, helping her do some online dating is a great idea. She might meet some different people. Mm-hmm. And can't you do it? I've never done the online dating thing, but can't you do it by category of age, too?
Yes.
Be able to find guys like that would be more age appropriate because you were saying like the 20-year-olds are just wanting a booty.
And there's got to be different, like, I mean, outside of Johnny's Hideaway, there's like that trifecta of like older single people there in Buckhead. There's Johnny's Hideaway. There's another Hal's and Carbo's. Isn't that where like all the older dudes hang out?
I don't know.
It's got to be places that she could send him or her.
See, mm-hmm. it's so difficult because, I mean, I'm only 25, so mm-hmm. yeah. to me it's like I don't really, know. You know, I'm not trying to find a sugar daddy, so I don't know where, like, all the hot spots are for the older single males or where, older people go to hang out. So I'm clueless in all this and just figured just throwing around on the internet might be easier.
So what are you asking us? Are you asking us to ask our listeners if this sounds too desperate, if it sounds
too
aggressive?
Yeah, like, is it too desperate or is there, like, maybe a better way for me to do it, maybe to try to ask other people where there are better places? Maybe I can go with her. I mean, I've tried going out with her, but sometimes, because I look really young as well, so sometimes it looks like, since she's in her 20s, that she's bringing her younger, 18-year-old sister out, and I think sometimes that might look more desperate.
Well, and I think, I would assume that she's a little more relaxed than talking to a guy or dating a guy if her daughter's not her wing woman for the night.
Right.
So,
well, I think this could probably be more common than we think, because I know Stacey's gone through this with her mom also. Like, there's a little bit of a fear there that her mom is going to, be alone for the rest of her life. Now, Georgiana's probably fine with it, but I know as the daughter, Stacey's like, man, I'd really like to see her with a guy. But again, you're walking that really fine line of not wanting to be too aggressive.
Hey, The Bert Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.